Do you need to wake up in the morning? Because if you need to wake up in the morning and your regular crappy commie swill's not doing it, you need to have a drink of Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee is the best coffee out there. Everyone else who disagrees, well, they hate all things happy and good and probably Eagles in America and football and everything else. Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's just really good coffee. They have the best roast out there, the best blends out there. It's veteran-owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they've been working with the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the nation. And the Boot Campaign helps to provide customized care to treat the root causes of the invisible wounds of war, things like post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, insomnia, all kinds of stuff. And so with every sale of their ready-to-drink coffee, they're giving proceeds to the Boot Campaign to help veterans through these means. And they have a ton of different flavors with the ready-to-drink coffees. You can get the 12-packs as part of the coffee club. So the coffee club, if you're unfamiliar, you sign up, you choose your select roast, your frequency of shipment, and you never, ever run out of coffee. And you can choose several roasts. You don't have to just, you know, chain yourself to one. And you never run out of coffee. Free shipping right on your doorstep. I'm telling you, it's more affordable than the bougie stuff in the supermarket aisle. So Black Rifle Coffee, they're committed to serving the veteran community. Let's all continue to make a difference. Raise a can together. Fuel Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the coffee club today.
If everyone agrees, what's the issue? What's the holdup to an extension?
Well, some of it is just the ability of Hamas to be willing to let men go. They hold men in a different category. And number two, to be able to find additional hostages. I mean, not all of the hostages we believe are in Hamas's hands, that there's other groups that could have some. And of course, it's going to be on Hamas to go get them and to be able to produce them in exchange for additional Palestinian prisoners as well coming out from Israel. So again, the onus is really on Hamas right now. We hope that they'll be able to continue the release of additional hostages over coming days.
John Kirby sounds confused, which makes me confused. So this was a question that he was asked because we're on, I mean, it's day three, right? Day four.
Yeah, at least three.
Yeah. And then as we were getting ready to come on air, the Qatari officials came out and said, we're going to have, FYI, we're going to have an additional 2 days ceasefire. And Kirby's talking to this. And of course, there was also, because I saw another clip, and this was different and earlier, where they were asking him about hostages. And because we have the one, Joe Biden got heckled when he was in Nantucket, because at the time they had nothing, no information on any of them. So welcome back, everyone. It's post-Thanksgiving. We are well into the Christmas season. Your lovable curmudgeon here, Dana Lash, we're going to go on a fantastical voyage. We're going to get you set up this week with all the stuff that you missed while you were in your tryptophan coma. I mean, honestly, we were all in a tryptophan coma. It's just some of us have mastered the art of laying face down on the floor full of turkey while also scrolling through news on the phone. So we're going to get you set up with everything. So there was an American hostage released on day three of the ceasefire. Now, they're going to extend it. They said more hostages are going to be released. Egypt says that Egypt was the one who first reported that the ceasefire was going to be extended by 2 days. And as a result, they're going to release. Now, they're going to include the release of 20 Israeli hostages. They're going, we'll give you 20 Israeli hostages for 60 terrorists. Huh? Wait, what? How's that math, Kane? That evens out, right?
No.
That doesn't even out, but that's what the people said. Temporary, and in exchange for 60 terrorists, they're going to release 20 Israeli hostages. How does that work, by the way? I've seen video, but I really want to know the actual technicalities. Is it a free-for-all like Red Rover, and then everybody kind of crosses? Is it like that? Or is it more along the lines of this group comes out and then we're going to release this group? Because I have a way that I would release a group. Just saying here. I have a way I'd probably do. I mean, I would wait till we get the Israelis and then the 20 terrorists that we have, 60 You know, I'd probably deliver some swift justice. And by the way, these are individuals. These are not like regular citizens. This is what Hamas does. Hamas acts like Israel just went out and took women and children off the street. Hamas confused Israel for itself. And that's the people that are in custody in Israel are people who literally were caught in the act of committing terrorism. I just think that, you know, when you've got an IED that you're planting and you're trying to blow up some troops or blow up some just innocent Israelis trying to go about their day, that kind of seems like you're involved in some terrorism. And if you're arrested for that, seems like you're a terrorist, right? I mean, that's kind of how it goes. When you're caught in the act, you really, I mean, really, is there much of anything else to make of the of such a, I mean, you really don't need to accuse, right? J'accuse, you don't really need to. They caught you. So that's who these people are, 60 terrorists. This seems like not an equal number. Who's negotiating this? John Kerry? Who's negotiating this? I'll give you 60, you give me 60 terrorists and I'll give you 20 hostages. I would say give us all the hostages or we're going to start slitting throats on live television. You want to sit here? I look, my energy, I'll match your energy. How do you want to do this today? That's how I would approach, I literally would approach it like that. But I get it. People are scared and they don't want the terrorists to go and kill any more innocent people. I mean, heaven forbid, they've killed enough already. But I'm just, that's a fascinating deal. So the 2-day extension is going to totally give Hamas more time to dig in, et cetera, et cetera. Although I do say the IDF has done a pretty good job of pushing everybody out, pushing the terrorists out. That's one thing that they've done. Netanyahu said that there's still no choice to destroy Hamas. The truce extended. In the meantime, Elon Musk is over there. He's doing what I guess it's like a fact-finding thing for himself. So he's going and he's meeting some. I think he met with Netanyahu. They were discussing what the, you know, really how this affected everybody. It's how it was so much more the consequential than the way that the media is trying to report it. And they both agree that Hamas cannot exist. I mean, Netanyahu said they have to be destroyed, and Musk replied, quote, there's no choice. And this was the X chat that they had. And I still think that all of these stories where they were trying to say that Elon Musk was anti-Semitic, I think that's so stupid and specious. And I find that it's an accusation made by the biggest anti-Semites themselves. Interesting how that works, is it not? And so the one of the, I they even talked about this issue in the chat. And I was reading some of the notes of this because they had a discussion, and this is something that I've seen a lot of other people talk about, the culture in Gaza. I mean, there's a reason why a terror group was able to win an election. Like, people actually voted for terrorists to run Gaza. Terrorists that have said, we don't believe our neighbor to the north should exist. We're really north and west. Or sorry, north and east. We don't really think our neighbors should exist. We believe in killing everyone, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, they were popular for a reason and won election for a reason. There's a reason, again, why you had the authority, the West Bank and Gaza authority, because I'm not using the word that's for a made up people in a made up country that's never existed in 2000 years of antiquity. We've talked about this. But the West Bank, the territorial authority, the reason that they suspended elections and because they knew that Hamas was going to take over not just Gaza, but West Bank. And so that's the reason why they haven't had an election since 2006, which was their last one, because Hamas enjoys just a massive amount of popularity. And so this discussion that they had focused on whether or not people who have been brought up in this culture of hate, people who have been brought up in a culture where it's normal to have a martyrs fund. It's normal to have a member of your family or to celebrate or pay respects to a family that had a member that literally tried to kill or did kill innocent people simply by way of them being Israeli, strap bombs on them, turn into suicide bombers, or join Hamas and fire off rockets and then end up getting murked because, you know, you're terrorist people who are doing all of this are too stupid. I mean, all of these things. I mean, that's a weird culture that raises and encourages hate. And this is the reason why you see no other Arab nations except the refugees from Gaza. There is a reason why Egypt is saying no. There's a reason why Jordan says no. There's a reason why Abu Dhabi, there's a reason why the Saudis, there's a reason why every other Arab nation refuses to take its own people, if you want to have that discussion by way of ethnicity. They absolutely are refusing to take Gazans. And there's a reason why. Ask Jordan what happened when they did it. Look at every single place, every nation that's tried this and has failed, because it is pure chaos, the inviting pure chaos. I mean, good grief. There were protests and terrorist actions that were taking place in Jordan with this. So there's a huge reason. I mean, Lebanon, ask Lebanon, for crying out loud. They said no. Everybody. Because there's a culture of hate. There's a culture of war. There's a culture of annihilation. And so whether or not that's something that can be changed is a question that only Gazans can ask. But don't sit here and act like it's, you know, an innocent strip of kittens and sunshine when you had citizens that were working with Hamas to kill people or helping Hamas kill people. There's a reason, again, why they suspended elections. They were so popular. So this was a discussion that they had. And it's not ignorant to quote this. It's ignorant to pretend that it doesn't exist and excuse hate because you're worried about it's racist to withhold justifiable criticism because you're terrified of someone else's ethnicity. That is inherent racism. And it also speaks to your lack of moral conviction and your cowardice. So that's the latest that's been happening. We're going to come back and talk more about this because we have Joe in Nantucket. Did you see him? I saw some of the photos over the Thanksgiving weekend. He was there with Hunter. Hunter was there. Kane still looking coked out as ever. He's got eyes that it looks like. Well, my grandma had this Santa. And it was a weird looking Santa. I was trying to remember where she got this thing. I don't remember where, but she had this Santa. And she would sit it on top. She had a floor television. She would sit it on top of the floor TV and plug it in. And it had, man, the thing had devil eyes. Even when it was unplugged, it had crazy eyes. You know what I mean? And every time I look at Hunter, I'm like, he looks just like that unplugged Santa. Like there's crazy there still. Doesn't matter if it's plugged in or not. I can still see it. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter if he's on the snow, I can still see it. He's crazy. But not like genuinely, like he just chooses to be so reckless that it confuses people with craziness. But he was there in Nantucket. They got booed. They got heckled. They went and I'm not a George W. Bush fan. Say what you will about him. But one of the things that W did is that he spent the holidays in D.C. so that agents could be with their families. And I've never really thought too much of people that didn't do that. It's like, you know, you're there for a short time and you can go after, you can go before, you can go and have your, you know, your Christmas and your Thanksgiving breaks, but make sure your agents are able to, you know, maybe be with their families or see them over Christmas or Thanksgiving. So he stayed in D.C. for that reason. And he only left like after. So that agents could have time with their families. Joe doesn't do that. Man, Joe went up to that, what was it, a $32 million compound in Nantucket? It was some big donors. It was one of the donors, their properties. And he was up there for the entire time with his family. But they got booed. And then they also had people, they had pro-Hamas people try to stop the Macy's parade while that happened. And then they also had people try to stop the little tree lighting ceremony in Nantucket. I saw this headline, bear with me for a moment, because is that not like a twist in a Hallmark movie? Imagine it, right? So you're like in the Northeast in Nantucket, and there's a Christmas tree lighting ceremony. But then you have these pro-Hamas protesters. They don't want you lighting Christmas trees, so they're gluing themselves to the street, and they're screaming genocide. That would be like a messed up Hallmark movie, wouldn't it? That's like one of the twists that you wouldn't anticipate. No snow globe factories here, folks. All right, we got a lot more on the way, including coming up. Ireland. I don't know if you've been following everything that's happening there. All hell broke loose over Thanksgiving. Pro-Hamas folks and a 5-year-old girl got stabbed. And Conor McGregor spoke out. And now the Irish government is investigating Conor McGregor for simply speaking out about it. And Ireland is angrier at the Irish than it is the pro-Hamas people that started all the problems and were out there stabbing folks. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to get into some of the latest with 2024 and a very interesting new poll about 2A. So good luck on running for gun control, Democrats, coming up in the elections. We got a lot to hit, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it. Hillsdale College, clearly people need to be educated. And I think they probably should just go to Hillsdale, if Hillsdale will have them, because they're not doing critical race theory. They're doing critical thinking. Hillsdale's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. That's their hallmark since their founding in 1844. And they offer the kind of education that is required to preserve civil and religious liberties. So they educate everyone. They don't care about your political identities. They don't care about it. There's a short video that's available at Dana4FORHillsdale.com that shows you how their work is effective in defending American liberty. Not just on its campuses, but also all across the nation. Students are encouraged to debate ideas openly and honestly. They're not going to sit here and shut people down. They're not going to sit here and have speakers run off campus. They don't do that at Hillsdale because it's actually, you know, an intellectual academic institution. It sounds almost foreign today, but that's their mission. That's their goal. And education is required for a free people to live freely. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, apparently half of Gen Z are germaphobes, and they hand wash 10 times or more daily. They also should actually be ignoranophobes, and they should be running to books. Things like books and stuff. Just saying, they should. A recent survey, they looked at 1,000 of them. You know what? These are the people that grew up in a coronavirus era. And so all these, like, their nutty, stupid parents got them all freaked out about stuff. Stop it. Just stop. Let's see. This is a crazy story. So in Pennsylvania, all right, so let me... A dad and a son. The dad is a homeless advocate, whatever that means. Like, I guess he just does activism and does stuff on behalf of homeless people, tries to help them. So I don't think the full story is out, but his son, who is 15, shot dead a homeless man who is accused of raping the 15-year-old's girlfriend, who was 16 at the time, or 16. He apparently raped her behind a dumpster. And so the boyfriend, who's 15, shot and killed him. And I'm wondering how this was allowed to get to this point. Was this guy invited into the home? And like, I don't know, man, there's some stuff there. But this is awful. But you also know something too. This is what happens when you have no justice. People are gonna take things into their own hands. If you want vigilantism, this is exactly how you get vigilantism. Get more Soros Democrat prosecutors out there who allow these people who are violent offenders to stay out there. Because guarantee you, this guy's got a record. Let's see here. This is crazy. Saw this over the weekend. An unprecedented cosmic ray sent from a mysterious invisible corridor in deep space struck Utah. No idea what that means. But astronomers, they've detected one of the most powerful cosmic rays ever observed. It was beamed at Earth from a mysterious part of deep space. It carries quintillion electron volts, something like that. They have no idea where it came from. That's fascinating. They used the telescopic array to measure it. Stay with us. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
When you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our Constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
Wow. This is just wild. In Ireland, that's the Green Party, one of their officials, Pauline O'Reilly. And this was after all hell broke loose over the weekend because this Algerian man went on a stabbing spree and stabbed a five-year-old girl nearly to death. The woman and five-year-old girl that ended up getting the worst of it are in serious condition still. And it was a Brazilian driver, a 43-year-old man, who jumped off his moped, knocked the guy over with his helmet, and stopped it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Witnesses said that the scene was absolute bedlam. It's just crazy. Complete chaos. They said a group of people restrained the suspect. Some who had been injured, they said, were taken back inside of the school. The attack was at an Irish language primary school. And it was in Dublin's north inner city area. And the Irish police were investigating because the police were trying to say that it wasn't politically motivated, but a lot of other people were asserting otherwise. And there was a five-year-old boy who was also wounded. He had been discharged from the hospital. Riots took place after. The guy wasn't born in Ireland. He was a naturalized Irish citizen a number of years ago. But they said that he apparently targeted these kids specifically. And they're trying to, they said he was, you know, apparently beforehand highly agitated, et cetera, et cetera. A number of kids were hurt. And there were protests in Ireland as a result. And it took, they had 34 people who were arrested. And then finally, after, 48 hours, there was calm in the streets. But they said that people had had enough because of the influx of just either illegal immigration or the government just stamping anybody and allowing anybody and everybody to come in, which is weird to me because, you know, when you hear about the way that countries handle immigration, everyone else says it's the United States that has like racial issues. In Ireland, I had a very dear friend who, I mean, she had to have a special visa to be in Ireland. She was there. She works in the arts and entertainment industry. She had a pass. She isn't on camera or anything, but she was kind of like working as part of the crew. And she had to have a pass for X amount of days. They literally will come and visit you as your time in the country draws to a close if you're there to work. And then she had also a member of her family who went to Ireland to study. And that individual was visited before graduation to remind that by the Irish government, this is apparently something that they do, and to remind them your time's drawing to a close, you're going to have to be leaving. This was just a couple of years ago. And when that young woman wanted to stay and continue her studies, they said, unless you're going for a higher degree or taking harder classes, you're not allowed. You can't just like take filler classes to stay in Ireland. And so she had to leave. And if you don't leave, like, they will show up to arrest you the day after. They're pretty hardcore, except, you know, they're pretty hardcore. I mean, I guess only to like white Westerners. I don't know. It's wild. I don't understand it. Conor McGregor spoke out about this because it's crazy to see this in Ireland. I mean, they get mad over like, you know, football matches and stuff. And then they brawl in the streets and they go back in the pub and they got another pint and then everything's fine. It's just wild to see this. But Conor McGregor spoke out and he was immediately targeted as a result. I mean, there were protests and the riots and all of this stuff. And so Dublin native Conor McGregor spoke out. He was really critical of police leadership. He condemned the burning of vehicles and looting. There were some bad elements in it, of course. And he said that he tweeted, quote, innocent children ruthlessly stabbed by a deranged non-national in Dublin. our chief of police, because apparently they said that it was a hooligan faction driven by far right ideology. I'm so tired of hearing about that. I'm so tired of hearing far right hooligan, all of this other stuff. Come on. He said that there's grave danger. It should have never been here in the first place. And that there's been zero action done to support the public in any way with this frightening fact, right? And he's just said, God bless those attacked today. You know, we're praying. That's all he said. That's all he said. And he said, I don't care about President Higgins' statement or that he's going through different leaders. He's like, announce your plan of action. Your statements are worthless. I mean, he's saying all you're doing is talking. You're not actually acting to, you know, he said, fix the situation immediately. This is literally what he said. They act like he was out there calling for violence, and he wasn't. He said it was one of the most horrific crimes that they've ever seen, etc. So now he's being investigated. They're trying to attack him, saying that he committed hate speech because, you know, they don't have freedom of speech there. They're trying to accuse him of hate speech because he criticized the police. He criticized some members of government for the way that they handled not just this Algerian immigrant, but immigration overall, which he says, you know, is making, you know, areas less safe. And he said, I mean, he said, he's like, this is enough is enough. And now they're investigating him for, what is it? Online hate speech. Like, is there a different charge for in-person hate speech? Mm-hmm. But that's considered hate speech. But the Irish police commissioner, Drew Harris, he said that the riots were driven by a, quote, hooligan faction driven by far right ideology. That's not hate speech. I mean, if you want to have a discussion about hate speech, why is the police commissioner, why does he get to make these accusations about everybody who was out in the streets? And that's not hate speech. But what Conor McGregor says is hate speech. There is this ploy that Western governments are engaged in where, and there was other video where you had Irish leaders that were angrier with the innocent Irish people that were speaking out against this more so. They were saying, oh, well, this is violent. You know, the violence was the guy stabbing children. That's the violence. That was the violence that needed to be called out. I mean, you've got this guy out there stabbing everyone, but yet the people who reacted apparently to years of mismanagement from Irish police, years of looking the other way over immigration drama from Ireland's government, that's to criticize the government. That's hate speech. But the government can criticize innocent Irish people. And this is not something that's just Ireland. It's not something that's just the United States. This is in every Western government. There is an absolute strategy to get Western governments to turn on Western citizens. And by Western, I mean anything that's free. Anybody that has any modicum of freedom. That's what defines Western now. Is there freedom involved? Because then it's Westernized. But there is an absolute strategy to get governments to turn on people. Although, in some instances, it doesn't require much. Some governments have already sort of been against people in the first place. I mean, in the United States, we're crying out loud. Go and look back at the COINTEL stuff back in the 60s. I mean, go and look back in the days of Prohibition when poison was being slipped into alcohol in order to help the government with that whole plot. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. That's not to say everything, but there's a lot. My point is that you're now being conditioned to be afraid to speak out about anything. They want to condition you to compromise your right of self-defense. They want to condition you to compromise your right to speech, particularly against the things that deserve the criticism, which was what free speech was designed for in the first place. It's slow, but it's sure. This is what they're trying to do. And this idea of a hooligan, first off, don't do stuff like this in Ireland if you don't want your ass beat. Excuse the Portuguese, but I'm going to lay it very straight. If you do not want to get beaten into a hole in the ground, do not do this in Ireland. I mean, there's a reason, and I can say this as someone whose great-grandparents were Irish. I can say it. You don't mess with the Irish like that. You just don't. I mean, that's like the one thing that you just don't do. That's like dropping down into a volcano and wondering why it's hot. It just doesn't make any sense. So just saying, that's one of the things you just don't do. You're shocked. So they're investigating Conor McGregor. I mean, like, that's going to scare him. There is, at some point, a line that you pass where you can only try to intimidate people with a threat of government for so long, with a threat of penalty, with the threat of control. And then at some point, those threats, even if made good, lose their leverage. And that's ultimately, that's the government should never have people living in fear of it. And I say this in the spirit of the founders. Government was always to fear the people's displeasure. They were to fear the losing the good esteem of the voter. That's how it's supposed to be. Somehow we got it twisted. But at some point, that threat of being investigated, of being this, of being that, loses its leverage. It loses its power. And that's when things, when enough people realize that, and when enough people have had enough, and when enough people want a reckoning, that's when it gets sketchy. Sometimes I think that I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on yet.
But
I do have, I'm just going to put, because my hair's like really nice right now. I don't want to mess it up. But I will say this, because this thing, they can't think my thoughts right. We literally told them to send us this stuff. It's the Faraday hat. I will say this. I sometimes think that it definitely is a bait to try to get people to engage in civil conflict. Because at first, get people to argue with each other over identity politics. Then get people to, you know, little skirmishes here and there. And then allow, and then have it kick off into something bigger. That's kind of what it feels like. It's a plot to destabilize westernized governments and to get not just people to turn on their government, but people to turn against each other. And that's what it's not just the United States. Don't think that, you know, we're special here in the U.S. I mean, in a way, we're a powerhouse of freedom. Yes, but we are just as susceptible as anybody else. To see it happen in France, to see it happen in Britain, to see it happen in Ireland, and to watch it, to witness it happening here in the United States. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't help that it gets convoluted with political egos, because there's a real threat. And I think that the pollution of the how do I put it? To distract from the very real threat of that in the U.S. with the political power jockeying and political, you know, egos. That's a pettiness, and that itself is dangerous because it's forcing people to focus on, you know, like, look, yes, Trump has issues. Some of Trump's issues are self-made. Some of them, I think, are highlighting a problem that has already existed that people have been going through for quite some time. You can't take your eye off the ball, and that government can be weaponized this way. And you can't just focus on singularly one person, because you have to focus on what is wrong with the system. And I just feel like everybody's being baited. I really feel like everybody's being baited. We are in very weird times right now, dangerous times. This is, and it's different to talk about on air today than it was a decade ago. Dangerous times indeed. How's that heaviness for you? Right after your Thanksgiving turkey. We got more. We got more on the way. We also are, we got some gun control numbers too. Woo-hoo, wait until you hear about these polls. Oh, I hope Democrats run on this. Please. Our friends over at Wise Foods want to make sure that you are prepared, because the last thing you want to worry about if an emergency happens is where your next dinner is going to come from. Where's your next meal coming from? So this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. You can save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit. Get free shipping at preparewithdana.com. 2-bucket 4-week survival food kit includes 2,200 calories plus 64 grams of protein per day. A 28-day supply. All the food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. It's freeze dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare. You just add water. 25-year shelf life. They have all kinds of dishes included, everything you can think of, wonderfully prepared, easy to get ready. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com and save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit plus free shipping. That's preparewithdana.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I cannot prove what I'm about to say, but I believe one of the reasons why Hamas struck when they did was they knew that I was working very closely with the Saudis and others in the region to bring peace to the region by having recognition of Israel and Israel's right to exist.
What in the world? Guys, it is too close to coming back from Thanksgiving break for this mess. I mean, I'm still got a little bit of the tryptophan coma lingering. And I don't need no Sleepy Joe up there going, oh, I was the one who is there mad at me. And then he melts into a puddle of meat. What? Good. Was that when he went with hat in hand to beg, like Oliver Twist, for more oil?
Yeah.
Can I have some more oil, sir? I don't know why I made a rooster noise just there, but it works. What is he talking about? He didn't do anything. He literally did nothing. He wasn't working with anybody. This is a guy who wanted to, who actually reinstated giving money to Gaza.
Yeah.
Giving money to the Hamas terrorists, Gazan government. He reinstated that. What is he talking about? Did he get into, you know what? I think he was eating powdered donuts and he thought they were powdered donuts, but they were Hunter snacks.
Uh-oh.
S-N-A-X, yeah. Snacks. Yeah, they had a little, they were dusted in a little booger sugar.
That's
probably what it was. I mean, he's one of those guys, by the way, that cleans up and still looks like a crack rat. Insane. He does. All right, so coming up, second hour on the way. We got Florida Man, you know. And also, the latest, I'm just trying to figure out the math of this ceasefire thing that they got going on, this temporary ceasefire, because 60 terrorists are getting released for 20 people. And then did you hear, they have a bunch of babies and toddlers that they said, no, we're not releasing them. Hamas said that. They said, no, we're not releasing them. People were asking about this 8-month-old baby. No, Hamas won't release this baby. Or these other babies and these other toddlers. The perverts in Hamas. But yeah, we're going to release 60 terrorists. We got to talk about this. We got to talk about some domestic stuff too. 2024 issues. Stick with us. Friends at Patriot Mobile. They just, look, Patriot Mobile wants to make your life easier. They want to bring you amazing cell phone service. Number one. Number two, they want to save you money. Number three, they want to make sure that your money doesn't work against you. So they've been doing this for over a decade. The only Christian conservative wireless provider in America. So right now they have a Black Friday promotion. You can get a free smartphone with code Friday76. It's Friday76. Just think 1776. Okay, Friday76. Make the switch today. This is for a limited time only, though. I mean, this is a great company that works on behalf of you, works for you, serves you, and I'm proud to partner with them. I mean, it's just the best cell phone service that's out there. They have dependable coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service. When you switch, you're saving money. You're working with an entirely 100% U.S.-based team, so you're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. And again, don't forget that Black Friday promotion, free smartphone with code Friday76. So make the switch today. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Friday76. Get your free smartphone. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Call 972-PATRIOT. Code Friday76 for details.
John, how many Americans are still being held hostage, and do you have proof of life?
We think the number is, it's less than 10, probably in the neighborhood of, you know, about 8 to 9. But we don't necessarily have firm, solid information on each and every one of them.
Hmm. That was like a nervous swallow.
Yeah.
We've got, like, it could be like 8 or 9. He seemed very nervous answering that question. That was John Kirby just a little bit ago. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour. Dana Lash here with you to get your week started properly. And a lot of stuff still to hit because it's been a busy, you know, we had people gluing themselves to the asphalt at the Macy's parade. We're going to talk about that. But I'm trying to understand, and this is on the heels of the announcement of this extension of the quote-unquote ceasefire, this temporary ceasefire, in which now I think it was the Egyptian press had first reported it. There's going to be an additional 2 days, and 60 terrorists are going to be released to Gaza in addition to, well, in exchange for 20 hostages. And the baby and one of the toddlers, because there's still a lot of kids that are being held hostage. Hamas, they were the family of those two. We're told that Hamas refused to release them and they're going to stay in captivity. So a little baby, a little bitty baby, and a toddler, they're going to continue. I mean, there's other kids too, but this family just found out today that their kids are still going to remain in custody. Some were wondering if it's because they have red hair. I saw a lot of discussion about that on social media. Is that something that would factor into it? I didn't, I love red hair, but I'm just curious. Is that something that would factor into it? So it's an addition. Who knows? It's Hamas, right? They're murderous perverts. It's Hamas. But why are we having, and this is what I don't understand, this math. Why is there an agreement to release 60 terrorists for only 20 hostages? Like, what is this math? And why are any terrorists being released when these murderous perverts refuse to release any babies or any kids at all whatsoever? How in the world is this possible? Who is Hamas that they get to say, well, no, we're not going to release these people, but we'll release these people? That's what we'll do. Why? What? What? Kane and I have ideas. Like, so I'm positive you can do this. In Mission Impossible, when they had those little, little C4 implants.
Yep.
They put in someone's brain up through their nose. You don't even have to, just knock them out, yep. Install it up there, mm-hmm. And then say, you know what, we're going to release all of the terrorists in captivity. Mm-hmm. But you have to give us all of our people back. Get all of our people back. Release the terrorists and then, give it an hour and then detonate them. That's what should be done, really. Don't tell me we can't do it. That should be done. Kane and I would love to invest in such technology.
Yes.
Like, I totally would love to. That's what should be done. I mean, in lieu of lining up all of the terrorists, like on a stage and then making a performance of their deaths, that's justice. In lieu of that, get the Americans out, have Israelis get their people out, get the babies and get all the kids out, and then detonate. That seems like you could probably only do that once, though. That seems like a one-time thing. Like, I don't think that they would fall for it again, right? Do you think they would? Mm-hmm. You don't know. Yeah, make it a pay-per-view. Be like, here, you get a free body cam too. Why is it pointed at my head? Just because you're so beautiful. That's why. There you go. Just want to see it. It'd be like, in fact, what my caster class can do to the enemies in Warhammer Darktide, which Kane refuses still to play. Sidebar to this, and we're coming back to the meat and potatoes. I started another class having maxed out Kane, my caster class and the zealot class.
See.
Yeah, I chose an Ogryn. And in Warhammer, they don't care. Warhammer doesn't care about your PC. Warhammer is not PC. They don't care about your stupid pronouns. There's chicks and dudes. That's it. Get out if you want to argue with them. They don't care. They're not making games for you. And the Ogryns, though, are like a science lab experiment, and they're big giant ogres. They call them Ogryns. And they're only dudes, and they don't have families. They're just literal fighters. So I made one, being that you couldn't choose a woman. I made one and called it She-Ma'am. So if you see it, that's me. She-Ma'am.
Instead of He-Man?
Yeah. She-Ma'am. That's what it is. He's way overpowered. He's so overpowered. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it just made me think of that. The whole, having the get a free body cam too. Have that all happen. Same. I don't know. Did everybody have a relatively good Thanksgiving? Everybody had a great Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't hear any stories about people having fights at the Thanksgiving table. Everybody,
yeah.
Did you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade? I know people keep it. It's always horrible. I liked the when I was a kid and they had the misshapen floats and the weird, terrifying characters. Go back and look at some of the stuff like in the early 90s and late 80s of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There are some terrifying things there. My mom said it was even more terrifying in the 70s. So, because I guess the tech wasn't there, right? To have like really nice looking floats. But they had some terrorists. Where's this at? Were they pro Hamas people? Were they climate people? I don't know. They're all, I mean, they, pull this up. They glued themselves to the street to try to disrupt the parade. Oh, they were the pro Hamas people. They were chanting on about the quote unquote liberation of a fictional country. There is no, the country is as fictional as the occupation is. But they said 30 criminals jumped over barricades. Hamas terrorist lovers jumped into the street where the parade was occurring. And they very smartly glued them. I would have just ripped them off. Just leave your fingerprints behind. They glued themselves to the street. I'm not kidding. Like, if you're going to be that stupid to do it, then that sucks for you. They said that the demonstrators covered themselves in red liquid. They wore white jumpsuits. They had words, capitalism, consumerism. I'm sure they recorded everything with their capitalist consumer phones, right? I'm sure they had to purchase things for their protest, right? To make their protest happen. In order to make their protest happen, the protesters had to engage in capitalism and consumerism. Don't tell me that they made the paint and they actually made the paper themselves and they made the shoes that they're wearing and the tech that they're wearing. But they got, is that the McDonald's? They got in front of the McDonald's car. You had a weird looking grimace sitting in the car. That's a weird looking grimace. This purple thing sitting in the car. And the McDonald's people are like, what? And these people are gluing themselves to the street. Just rip them off and let it continue. That simple. It's super easy to do, man. Just have it be like that. Super easy. In fact, Audio Sunday 13, here's the video / audio. The pro-Hamas people gluing themselves to 6th Avenue. All right. Because the fictional country and our planet are two separate things, apparently. Why is there like a watermelon and a sunflower? Is that supposed to mean something? Is this a troll? Were people getting trolled? This is like the lamest protest. This is like, that's the lamest thing I've ever seen. So they have a very confusing sign. Their messaging's all over the place. Let's grade them, okay? Let's grade them like Simon Cowell would. So first off, I don't even understand the white jumpsuit thing. That's just stupid, number one. Number two, their sign said free the fictional country Palestine and the planet. Because apparently they're two separate things. Throwback to New Kids on the Block with their lyric, we met a lot of people and girls. Like they're two separate things. And then on the sign, on the banner, they had a piece of watermelon and a cornflower. Kane, any ideas here?
No. I have no idea. Because they painted Palestine in red letters.
So is that supposed to be a crescent or something? Is that why they picked a watermelon?
I have no idea.
A crescent? A green crescent? Holding blood red, because that would make, you know, makes more sense.
Did they just
enjoy those two items? Or were they told, hey, for free, you can put two emojis on here? And they just did it for free. Like you get, you know, with included in the price of this banner, you can throw up there two emojis. And they're like, okay, well, we love watermelon and then maybe some cornflowers that are blue with the planet in it. I don't know. Right?
It hurts to try and figure it out.
I'm really on the struggle bus with this one. So they want to liberate a fictional country, like literally a fictional country, and then also our planet. Liberate the planet from what? Their stupidity, perhaps? I don't know. But that's the lamest float that was there. That was the lamest thing. I would have booed them. Boo! You're boring! Blank your protest! Boo! It's totally not entertaining at all. Did they give free candy to the kids? Nope. You know what they should have done? They should have tried to kidnap kids that were standing there watching it and then had their parents beat them in the street. That would have been an amazing float. That would have been interesting. And it would have probably been much more like real life, too. But I don't understand their whole protest. They glued themselves to the street. If you glue your hands to the street, rip it off. Super simple, like Velcro.
Yep.
Just, you know, if you're going to be dumb like that, go ahead. So that took place over, that was at the Macy's Day Parade. And I did watch the dog show after. I did watch the West, as much of it as I could, but, you know, I watched some of the doc. But I just don't understand. And apparently they tried to, the same people, they tried interrupting the Nantucket Christmas tree lighting. There was another Christmas tree lighting that the pro-Hamas people apparently tried to interrupt as well. What do they have against the Christmas thing? Lorraine says that the pro-Hamas group is that they're similar to the Just Stop Oil people, who are morons. The Just Stop Oil people.
They use the same tactic.
Yeah. They're pro-Hamas. I love the Just Stop Oil people with their shoes made of petroleum, their clothes made with petroleum, driving in their vehicles, their phones. Literally, they're there because of petroleum. But they hate it, except when they love it. So amazing. Oh. All right, so we have on the way still. Remember, last hour, we were talking to you about the attack in Ireland. This Algerian dude went crazy, stabbed a bunch of people, including a five-year-old girl who is in critical condition. And so, you know, the Irish, they were displeased. They were strongly displeased in the streets about this. And the Irish government, instead of condemning, you know, the violence, the continued violence from people whose legal immigration they cannot say for certain whether it was legal, they go after the innocent Irish. And by the way, the guy who did the stabbing, apparently, yes, he does have a record. You are correct. So we're going to talk about that. We got headlines on the way and more as we get moving. Our partners that are over at Kel-Tec, Florida-based company, the P15. If you don't have the P15 in your rotation for your EDCs, then I don't know what's up with you, because it's awesome. The P15, it stands for a standard capacity, ladies and gentlemen, of 15 pews. That's what the P stands for, pews. It's an official scientific term, 15 pews. And the cool thing about it, it's the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. It's so easy to conceal. 14 ounces unloaded, holds 15 plus one rounds. You got the Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, striker fire reliability, super sweet trigger. Comes in two versions, polymer and metal. Both are awesome. The metal version, I got to say, has got a real cool, like, Sean Connery era James Bond shtick to it. It's very awesome. So for public safety and self-defense, you got to check out the P15. Make that a part of your EDC rotation. Ladies, you can conceal it easily. Dude, you're just going to like having it. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, this American Indian group sues the NFL and the team owner. This is interesting. All over the Redskins name, the name change. They want to restore it. Yeah, it's not what you think it is. There is a rival Native American organization that says that they did this all improperly and they changed it to this dumb name and we want it back. And they said that they were huge Redskin fans. Our members were, because they were the Redskins. That was like the name of a warrior. People, it's a bunch of white progressive communists that don't understand American Indian history. And so they want to project all of their ignorance onto certain things and really appropriate the meaning of words for minorities. That's what white communists do. They want to sit here and say, well, we think that this is offensive, so we're going to appropriate the true meaning of this term and project our interpretation on it, our stupid white communist interpretation on it, and steal it from American Indians. That's what happened with this name. And all of these stupid, weak, puny commies out there went with it. They said that 9 in 10 Native Americans were not offended by the Redskins name because they're not stupid like the white communists are that want to pretend to be upset over everything. Gosh, I hate communism. Also, I'm going to get really mad about that, so I'm going to bookmark that one. You can buy... I don't want to like get into like Dusty Hill's life. He's ZZ Top. But I would not... If you would have asked me, what would Dusty Hill's house look like? I would not have pictured this amazing $4.5 million stunning home in Texas Hill Country. But that's exact... I mean, it is gorgeous looking. It is such a pretty... I mean, it's like modern looking, and it's glass and metal, and... You know, it's their late bassist and his wife. It hit the market for $4.5 million. It's in College Station. It's on the market. On the market. It's beautiful. I don't know why I thought that they would have had like a rockabilly type of house. I don't even know what that looks like. But, you know, that's what Dusty Hill's house, and he's alive. It's where he lived. So it's a gorgeous house. Anyway, you know, you can have some history there. You can buy his house. They said... I love this stupid story. They're now trying to say that people are leaving Texas over rising costs, partisan politics, and a sense of disenchantment. Yes, please leave. Yeah. Go ahead and go. That's right. Go ahead and leave. Bye. get out. Go ahead and go. There's no rising. They just like, there's, and it's all leftists that are in a Reddit subthread, a subreddit about leaving Texas. It's all a bunch of whiny baby progressives. Bye. Please go. You're right. It's bad here. So bad. Don't stay. Much bad. So discontent. New report says housing prices have increased 925% since 1960. That's insane because, you know, back after World War II, people bought, they bought a house, they stayed and raised their family, used
My
to be able to buy it.
Didn't increase.
I know your wage didn't increase 925%, but that's the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics pricing for housing, 927% higher in 23 versus 67. Stay with us, a lot more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing I strongly agree with the deputy on is the need to target, set a target to have a number of people from ethnic minorities in areas of the public service. We have a health service that's very diverse, although less so as you go up towards the senior positions, not so much in the Gardaí, not so much in the Defence Forces, not so much in the education sector, as the deputy mentioned, not at all in the civil service, which is very white, including the Department of Equality, for example. And that actually needs to change.
Interesting. And what's so bizarre about this now is it is all still coming from the left. I mean, there's some things in Ireland that haven't changed, even back, you know, from World War II. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesher with you. At the bottom of the second hour. Why am I talking about this? Because you had 34 people arrested over the weekend in Irish riots after this Algerian immigrant went crazy. Some people were saying that there was a political motivation, whether it had to do with the Hamas, etc. But a five-year-old girl was put in the hospital, critical condition. And then Conor McGregor speaks out about it. And now the Irish government's investigating him for hate speech because all he did was very innocuously criticized Irish government and their police leadership because he said that they've exacerbated the problem, which they have. They've looked the other way. It's amazing how they'll take in all of these refugees today, but during World War II, they turned away so many Jewish refugees. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that about Ireland's history. You didn't know that just like it was, what, in the past decade that they actually pardoned or excused those who left the Irish armed forces to go and fight with the Brits during as part of the Allied powers against Hitler's Germany? Yeah. So they got a bit of a troubling history. Their PM at the time, who was a POS, had said that he didn't want to jeopardize Irish independence by declaring a side. So he maintained strict neutrality. And that strict neutrality included signing a condolence book to offer sincere condolences upon Hitler's death. That was the Irish prime minister at the time. So they've got a little bit, the government has a little bit of a troubling history there. So I think it's fascinating that it's still the progressives in Irish government, just like the same mindset of the PM at the time, that still hold this line. It's just fascinating that they're still causing problems. When do people learn? When do people learn? So they went from not taking any refugees in, like actual refugees who needed it at the time during World War II, to just completely, taking in every single person? Just interesting. So that's the... They still don't have it correct. And in the meantime, you have the Irish government that turned on the innocent Irish who were just simply asking questions about why this is happening so often with government. Why is crime up? Why are they allowing all of these unvetted individuals in? And this is, as I said, it's all a part of a strategy to destabilize Western governments. And by Western, that's like a label that's affixed to any type of government that simply allows for even a modicum of freedom. It's Westernized. It's Western style government as opposed to just total tyranny or communism, etc. And it seems in some instances, I mean, some people are taking the bait. They really are. They are taking the bait. And for them, at least with them, it seems like it's working. Now, a few other things that I want to touch on. Let's talk about some 2024 stuff because we got Iowa now coming up in, 40 some odd days? first votes now. I think we're close enough to where we can start talking about some of this. Here are just some basic observations that I have about Iowa. All the national polls that you see are garbage. Nothing matters. They're nothing more than a measure of name recognition or a popularity contest that's not a real reflection upon how voters are going to go, because not a single one of those polls, I mean, back in 2016, Trump wasn't even leading a national polls pre-Iowa. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. The only thing that matters at this point, strategically looking at campaigns, is our delegates. It's all a delegate race. What does that mean? The states that go early, and Iowa being a first state, so they get feted. That's the state that, you know, ultimately can decide some momentum, and the momentum directs fundraising, media coverage, you know, earned media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think for Iowa also doesn't necessarily go the way that you think it does. And also, people who take Iowa don't necessarily go on to win the presidency. It's kind of a mixed bag of results. It's a little difficult to look too much into it. I mean, Jeb Bush took Iowa, if memory serves, right? Didn't he? Didn't Jeb? I think Cruz took Iowa before. And we don't have a President Jeb Bush or a President Ted Cruz. So, you know, you kind of have to look at it like that in a way. I mean, it can be a mixed bag. However, I do think that there is a little bit of a difference with this race. And what I mean by that is that I think the primary is the general in this. And I think two things are going to make everybody mad. I'm going to say two things that are going to probably make at least 95% of my audience mad. One or the other. First thing, I think DeSantis he's got to take Iowa or be right on Trump's heels. Otherwise, I just don't think that the campaign is going to do well after. And I like the guy. That's my choice for the primary. I think he is one of the best suited primary candidates I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think that he would be one of the best presidents we've ever had. But he's got to perform in Iowa. You have to. You got to win it. You got to win elections. Part of being good leaders is being able to persuade people that you're a good leader and win elections. So that has to happen. Number two. So I'm going to make some people mad with that. Secondly, I saw a new poll out. Where's this one at? A new survey. And it's a Harris poll. I was looking at some of the crosstabs on it. And it's pretty good. There's a lot of independents that have been surveyed for this. So it's pretty independent heavy. And when you actually look at polls, a lot of the push polls that say Trump is 50 points ahead or whatever, they are so oversampled Republican, they are literally worthless. This has a little bit more merit. Now, this poll shows Trump +7 over Biden. Something I want to explain to you. We are this early out. And it's +7, you realize that it only shrinks, right? From here on out. Democrats haven't even started the rehabilitate Joe Biden effort. And that actually works with some voters. It just does. I don't know. You and I both had the same question marks in our heads. I don't get it, but it does. I mean, I get it. People have short memories and they're easily swayed by propaganda. And that's what the left is really good at. They haven't even started. Now, here's where the other half of my audience is going to get mad. How is the guy who was supposedly the best president ever only +7 against the guy who's considered the worst president in history? That's a red flag. Remember how I told you that this was a heavy independent survey? Who determines elections? It's done in the margins. You don't have to adopt an observation or a fact as your personal gospel. You don't have to like a point. That has no rendering upon the legitimacy of the point being made. And until we have a good portion of people figure this out, there are going to be major hurdles in strategy for campaigning in 2024. I say that as someone who desperately wants to win in 2024. If you can trust anything, trust that. And that's a red flag. So when it comes to 2024, there's some serious questions to be had. And I don't think that, I think everyone's kind of holding their breath to Iowa. Everybody is holding their breath to Iowa, which puts a serious amount of pressure on the DeSantis campaign. Now, here's something else I want to point out. I saw this like come up, you know, a couple of times. I don't like picking fights with people that I've shared a time or two a trench with, because I've been doing this. I've been involved in politics for quite a long time. I wrote about politics even before I got involved in broadcasts. Roger Stone used to be on my show all the time. Didn't he, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
He was on every Thursday. Yep. I played his bumper track music that I suggested for him was Notorious from Duran Duran. So we played that. And it was always lighthearted. You know, he would always dispense style advice. He's a very interesting character. One of the reasons that, for instance, you know, Ronald Reagan, nobody knows about the dirty tricks that Reagan's campaign got into is because Stone did all of them. Stone was involved in Nixon. He's a very dirty operative, and he revels in that reputation. That's just the way it is. And I first met him back in 2008. In fact, Andrew Breitbart and I met him at the same time in Quincy, Illinois. And I've known him for a long time. And I have always personally gotten along with Roger. And there, in old school politics, there's certain things that I abide by. And it was kind of Andrew's rule as well. You don't go after people that you're friendly with, but you take it up with them back channel. And there's certain things that Roger does that are in keeping with his behavior. And I don't think really move the needle. I think him calling Casey DeSantis a "see you next Tuesday" doesn't move the needle. And I definitely don't think it helps his cause. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because normally I wouldn't. I met Trump through him. Trump started coming on my show regularly years ago, regularly, because of Stone. I introduced Stone to Jesse Waters. There's a lot of history here that isn't public and a lot of people don't know that goes on behind the scenes. I don't think that Stone has a reputation in political dark arts that a lot of people have used and admired and has been helpful to a lot of people, a lot of different campaigns. But I think that this is JV to do that, especially someone that everybody knows he has an association with Trump. At some point, you're not a run-of-the-mill operative anymore, and you can't say that kind of stuff because it will absolutely be directed right back to the guy that you're repping. You got to be smart about that. You got to be careful with that. Secondly, I didn't like all the criticism of Melania Trump. I think that personal attacks, aside from maybe touching on someone's very innocuously wardrobe, you know, when I said that, oh, Jill Biden, why is she wearing Dolce and Gabbana? That Dolce and Gabbana print kind of looks like a sofa. Aside from that, which is about as mean as I'll get, I think there's, you know, you don't go after the wives like that. And I didn't like it when they went after Melania Trump over everything. And I don't like it, especially when I defend Melania Trump, along with those same people, to watch those same people suddenly that protested and said they had such an aversion to going after the wives like that to turn right around and do the same thing that they decried and go after Casey DeSantis. That's how I know you're false. Especially the people who are new to this movement, especially the people that were never in the trenches with some of us at the dirtiest times and the hardest times. Times when you had government agencies visiting people's houses under Obama, Biden. Times when people were getting aggressively audited under Obama, Biden for simply speaking out. A lot of the people that are adopting the same tactics here, they're not real conservatives. They're opportunists that were never there until they could find an opening to make a buck. And I see a lot of these people absorbing those tactics, and I don't like it. Be consistent, because frauds are inconsistent. People who are not frauds are consistent. And that's something to keep an eye on. So that's all I'm going to say about it, but I didn't like it. And I think it's beneath people who have been in the certain people who have been in the industry for as long as they have been.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
An irate Florida man whacked a man with a leaf blower after a fender bender, say deputies. This took place in Lake County, Florida. A Florida man found himself behind bars. He hit this dude with a leaf blower after they had a little fender dust up. Patrick Edison, 60, was arrested and charged with burglary, with battery and criminal mischief after the incident that unfolded on Hibiscus Drive in Leesburg on late Saturday morning. Deputies were called to the scene of the crime, and the victim said he was trying to operate GPS while driving, and it caused his work truck to hit a trailer attached to another truck, and then that forced it to collide with another vehicle, and that's when Edison apparently ran out of his house armed with a leaf blower. He was irate, bashed the leaf blower into the hood of the man's truck. The victim opened the door to his truck. Edison met him at the driver's side. The man tried to tell him calm down, but that's something that you don't tell either women or this Edison fellow. And he was socked with the leaf blower in response. And then he was trying to climb into the guy's truck while hitting him in the face. So there was witnesses. He's in Lake County Jail, where he remains on $26,000 bond. Yeah, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. All right, this one. Well, it's a story. This is a village's. The villages. A villager sentenced in a chair throwing disturbance at a Lake Sumter Landing restaurant. A villager, that's literally how they describe them. Like it's like the NPCs from Minecraft. Meh. They were sentenced in a chair throwing disturbance. Peter Hanat, 54, of the village of Chatham, pleaded no contest earlier this month, battery trespassing. He showed up after closing time at RJ Gator's restaurant. He'd been permanently banned just a month prior. He walked into from the patio area, and when he couldn't get in, he decided to have a tantrum and start throwing all the chairs in the patio, all of them. And an employee walked outside, told him to leave, and then Hanat, who is 5'11" and weighs 225 pounds, pushed the dude and then threw more chairs. It was all captured on video. Why would you do that? Like, I mean, sometimes they're closed, dude. Just come earlier. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to be getting yourself a permanent record and going to jail and all this stuff over it. A woman tried eating counterfeit bills as the cops arrested her at a Miami-Dade airport. At a Miami-Dade Walmart, police say. She was trying to pay. Loss prevention officers caught her. And she tried to eat them real quick before they could take the evidence. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. They said Zipporah Abraham. She's 38 years old. And she tried to eat like hundreds of dollars worth of counterfeit bills. That's crazy. They were trying to stop her. She just kept nomming them like Cookie Monster there at the checkout. She tried eating them all, and they had to like grab them, try to fish them out of her mouth. That's so gross. Don't do that. That's so nasty. All right. We got a lot more on the way. Third hour, Stephen Yates will be joining us too. Stick with us.
Well, I can't deny that that Hamas gained some benefits from this deal. One of them is the ability to refit and retool inside Gaza. Another is to try to use social media and other formats to generate some propaganda out of it. Mm.
So that is Jake Sullivan, NSA, who says, yes, what we all knew, Hamas absolutely has gained some benefits from this prisoner deal. Of course they have. I mean, it's not shocking. Welcome back to the program, top of this third hour. This is even after we discussed last hour, they were not going to release a number of kids. Like they had babies, like little babies and toddlers that they were not going to release. But the deal apparently includes 60 terrorists in exchange for in exchange of 60 terrorists for 20 hostages. Here's what's interesting. And by the way, if you don't know already, you can listen coast to coast. Stream the radio program. Watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse over at Substack. If this is interesting. I saw this from Benjamin Weingarten. So, and he caught this through Business Insider. The great aunt of the youngest American hostage and first American hostage to be released by Hamas is a buyer of Hunter Biden's art, who was appointed by Joe Biden to the U.S. Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad. So This one is a three-year-old American girl. And NBC reported how the great aunt of the three-year-old, Liz Naftali, revealed that the little girl's parents were killed in their homes. And this was at the kibbutz that was, I think this is the one that was right to the east, like maybe 2 miles away from Gaza. It was the closest one. And apparently that was the one where it was the worst. All of them were bad, but apparently it was the entire place that was slaughtered. And the little girl was one of those who was kidnapped. It's awful. But I think that it is definitely worth asking, did she get favor from the White House? Did this Liz Naftali, because there are other American hostages and they should all be released. But it's a shame that the discussion about releasing this three-year-old has to be wedded to the corruption of the Biden family. This is where it gets you. I mean, now this comes up in conjunction with mentioning with the story. I mean, she's given lots of money to the Biden campaign, lots of money to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC. She last year hosted a fundraiser at which the VP, Kamala Harris, spoke. She purchased about $1 million worth of Hunter Biden's art. And that was the documents identifying her. Somehow Business Insider got them. And 8 months after Hunter Biden's first art opening, where Naftali purchased the art, she was appointed. The announcement came that she had been appointed to the Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad by the president. Now, you want everyone to be released. But at the same time, is it you can't help but say that it absolutely is going to weigh on some people's hearts whether or not others would have to suffer more because they don't have those contacts. And that's not on the fault of the people asking that question. It's on the fault of the Bidens, who have behaved with such impropriety that nothing that they do can ever be viewed at as just for the action that it is. There's always something to it. That's their fault, not the fault of the observers who are just witnessing everything. And it is sad. I mean, it's just his pattern of corruption, and not everybody has that contact. Would others have been released if they had also bought some of Hunter's art? I mean, seriously, I feel like that's a fair question to ask. This is where corruption can get you. I mean, it's sad that it has to be brought up at all, but it's such is the way of things. I'm not sure. In the meantime, some of the stuff that I saw over the weekend is really wild to me. I've seen stuff from people online too. Like, I've seen stuff from people that I know in real life that think that somehow that strip of land, Gaza, was somehow occupied. It just blows my mind, some of the stuff that I've been seeing. There was a teacher in Queens. The high school is described as being radicalized. Students rampaged through the hallways. They found out she attended a rally for the hostages that they deemed to be a pro-Israel rally. And so they decided to protest her, and that apparently started getting pretty violent. And she had to be locked in her room for her protection at a school. And there's video, a lot of videos. They actually had a lockdown and tons of fights and then a riot because a teacher went to a rally for the hostages. I love all these people. They're all recording. Nobody's actually doing anything. They're just recording. These people are so ridiculous. I mean, they're recording the people who are getting violent. And then they started screaming anti-Jewish chants just because a teacher went to a rally for the hostages. And then, but there's more. In New York City, they had others. This was the week before this teacher was supposed to hide. Apparently at this Queens High School, they had a cop that was punched in the head by these students. Again, same school where just a week, just span of a week apart, you had the Jewish teacher forced to hide, a group of kids mad that she went to this pro hostage, that a rally in support of these hostages, Hillcrest High School in Queens. They punched this cop in the head. A mob of high schoolers. I can't play any of this video because it's, well, as you can imagine, it's very, the language is just stellar, Kane. It would, we wouldn't have to hover over the dump button and short circuit it at all. Like somebody pushed the cop against a wall. They punched him. I mean, this is wild. They got him in a headlock. I mean, this is crazy. And that's what's been going. Who's the guy who's the principal of the school? What is he doing? What is, this is just unbelievable. Some of the stuff that's been happening. Out of control. Everything is out of control. Who are these people's, who are the students', who are their role models? I mean, we just talked about how you had grown adults who were gluing themselves in the middle of the street at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I mean, you see grown adults, you know, engaging in assault and battery and rioting. I mean, that's what these younger generations have to look up to. So are you shocked when you see this kind of behavior? Because I'm not. This is, I was reading this piece, and it said, the headline of which, it's the Daily Signal. It's a very interesting story. It says, communism is not only here, it's going mainstream. So this is a survivor of Mao's China. Oh, I completely 1,000% agree with this. It's already been mainstreamed. It's not going mainstreamed, it's been mainstreamed. The process of thought, communism regarding thought, culture, not just government, but everything. I mean, we're having our own cultural revolution right now. Just because you don't have a specific leader who is out there pushing it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It is the cultural revolution of a specific ideology that wants to tell you people who work hard and make money are bad, and that people who think that men can't be women are bad, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just economic issues. It's cultural issues. It's education. It's everything. It doesn't have to look like exactly what predated it, but it's the same thing. No, this is the first time I've heard this from people who came from China, and especially those older folks who endured Mao. And they said that a lot of Americans never really understood history. They didn't see any of this in the United States. You know, that's why when you have people who come from Cuba, who come from Hungary, who come from, you know, Russia, come from China, come from, you know, these even escape from North Korea, despotic Venezuela, these tyrannical countries. They've lived it. They can see it. They see the seeds here in the United States. But people in the United States, unless you seek out to learn about it, because it's not taught really in school in the proper context, they have no basis of reality for it. It's not something that's happened here. That's why so many, I think, younger people, I think, do this until they get educated. That's why there's like this romanticization of tyranny, or people who think that somehow status control is cool, or that it leads to actual equity now. That's the new buzzword they're using. Because they've never actually had to live with any of this stuff or endure any of this stuff themselves. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or even Christmas dinner is a great opportunity to teach about communism. But it is. Like, imagine it, right? Like, you have everybody pitch into the kitchen, and then you control how much people get, and you'll give some people more, some people less. Oh, this person looks like they're hungrier, so they get more turkey or more ham, and you only get a little bit. And I don't know. I just think it would be an interesting lesson for some of the younger generations who haven't matured enough, either in intellect or emotionally, and they still romanticize statism. That might be an interesting way to go about it. Dana, you're making the holiday meal political. No, I'm just seeing an opportunity is all I'm doing. I'm just viewing an opportunity. Very simple, right? That's all I'm doing. Just saying. There's a survey that's out. I'm going to touch on this really quickly. I saw this over at Washington Times that shows that gun control or gun ownership, rather, is it's a record high amongst U.S. voters. Gun ownership amongst voters in the U.S., according to a new survey, they say that it is over 52%. Those surveyed said that someone in their household owns a gun. And I hate pop-up ads. I'm going to literally, Washington Times, get rid of your stupid pop-up ads before I punch your website in the face. But that's huge. And they said that it has not been, that they have not seen, they haven't seen such a record high gun ownership before. Record high. So they said that over 52%, which is almost a 7% spike. It's actually like 6.6, I think, from 2019. When they surveyed Americans with this same question, it was through NBC News and Wall Street. And it's a 10% rise from 2013. So in the past decade, there has been a major, I mean, really like 10 points growth in firearm ownership, because you've seen violent crime. You've seen all of this stuff happening. And of course, that's driving people to go and purchase firearms. So if Democrats want to run on gun control, that seems like that's going to be a bad thing for them to do. I mean, I'm all for it. That's what they did in the 90s, particularly after the Brady Act. I mean, they did that in the 90s. They ran on gun control. And then look what happened. It ended up helping to cost them the House. We have more to come. Golly, Washington Times, please get your website together. It's trash. It is absolute garbage.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, WSB-TV has the story of College Park, Georgia. This woman goes and buys a Subway sandwich, right? So she goes, gets there, gets her sandwich, and then she discovers she was charged $7,000 to her credit card after getting a sandwich from the College Park Subway. She said, I could have gone to Italy and got the sandwich. She said that she checks her credit card statements regularly, weekly, and that's when she noticed the charge. She says it's $7.54. And the meal that they charged to her card was $7,112.98. But what's crazier is they said that she's not going to get her money back.
What?
That's what they said. I think that's insane. They said that Bank of America, they reached out to Subway, etc. Subway said that it's going to try to it process the charge back because she was told she wasn't going to get her money back. And she had to literally go to local media in order to escalate the whole thing. That is so ridiculous. I mean, that's a case where there's like a technical thing that...
Can you even buy $7,000 worth of stuff at Subway?
I don't think so. I think you can buy a Subway for $7,000, right? She didn't buy the store. That's crazy. That's so crazy. But that's what happened. Let's see. Oh, man. 34 of the most bizarre items people donated to Goodwill include a basket of taxidermy kittens.
Oh.
I don't want to know why somebody had a basket of 30 taxidermied kittens.
Are you being charitable when you're doing that?
They said that there was a book called Bible for the Deaf, and written across the cover, it was in Braille. A blazer vest with a live bat. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's like some stuff in here. Some of the stuff is so gross. Also they had a, they said, and there were photos with it, a mariachi band figurines that are entirely made of dried prunes. Like, where do people get this? Like, where does this come from? Why is stuff so incredibly weird? And then a 3-year cruise is canceled. People actually sold or rented their homes for this. This is, again, why I don't do cruises. It's a CNN piece. Well, I'll have more on that tomorrow. Stephen Yates coming up.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, look, you know, the deal calls for every 10 hostages released to extend another day. So I'm hopeful this is not the end. It's going to continue. But we don't know. But I get a sense that all the players in the region, even the neighbors who aren't and have been directly involved now, We're looking for a way to end this so the hostages are all released and Hamas is completely, how can I say it, no longer in control of any portion of Gaza.
I can't tell if he's just trying to choose his words carefully or he just suspends thought for a moment. I can't. Yeah. That's POTUS who is speaking about this weird deal. We got a lot to get into because we got China, we got this. And I need an expert to explain to me the hostage to terrorist math here. Joining us, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, our very good friend, Stephen Yates. And you can find him on X at Yates. I keep on calling it Twitter at Yates Comms. And also he's chair of China Policy Initiative there. I want to get into some of those headlines that I have, Stephen, but can you explain to everybody, I'm trying to understand the math here. So the temporary ceasefire deal calls for 60 terrorists to be released back to Hamas in Gaza in exchange for 20 hostages. And Hamas has already said that some of the babies and the little kids that they have in custody, they're not going to allow those, all of them to leave. Who approved that? How does that ratio work?
I have a very, very hard time with this. Of course, if you are a family member and you have someone who's immediately involved, you are close to this situation, and there's nothing that I can say that can cover what they're dealing with. But if you take a step back, and you have to, if you're a serious leader, you have to say, these are innocent victims versus actual murderous rapist criminals, some of whom maimed themselves in attempts trying to kill innocent people before. I wouldn't exchange anything for any of those people. And I hate to say it, but I mean, really, I don't know who can come up with this number. Really, I don't know why we wouldn't say you release all of the innocents or you are done. Yeah. And I'm not going to listen to any protesters anywhere. You take innocents, moms, grandmoms, daughters, kids, you release them all or you are over. And I just don't think there's any talk beyond that. Otherwise, it just invites more. And even with this deal, they release 10 of them or 20 of them and they get 10 more days of a respite. I mean, that is fantasy math. And it's just I can't understand anybody who engages any of it.
I mean, it seems like they're trying to drag this out as long as possible.
Well, speaking of dragging it out long as possible, how long did it take to get one freaking American out? How is an American president not putting an American hostage first as a demand for any let up in any of this? He was already equivocating on moral equivalence between the Israeli position and the Hamas position before any American had been released. So there's a lot of this that really doesn't add up. But I think most of your audience probably is already saying, well, we expect no less out of Joe. I mean, this is the guy that gave billions of dollars to the Iranians to get a few people back. And it led directly to this kind of an assault. And so, yeah, I mean, this is the guy that failed Afghanistan withdrawal, leaving billions of material behind. So that's just par for the course. But this is getting really maddening, if you ask me.
And you mentioned, too, we're talking with our friend Stephen Yates. You mentioned the first American that was released, this 9-year-old. And I wish they could all be released. And I also wish that the Biden administration hadn't routinely acted with such impropriety that you have to mention that now the great aunt of the first hostage that's to be released also spent like nearly $1 million on Hunter Biden's art and received this prestigious appointment to this like American preservation thing from Joe Biden. And that's the first person that was released, which obviously is going to weigh upon other people's hearts to think, well, because we don't have connections, when do our family members get released?
Yeah, people who are in these positions, I mean, you just have to understand their mind's going to go everywhere. What would it take? What angle do I have to play to get my son, daughter, wife, brother, sister, whatever, out of this horrible, horrible situation? And that's going to come up. But you know what? What would it take for any journalist worth their salt when talking about a person being released? Not, you know, maybe also include they watched their mother and father get murdered before their eyes. I mean, just, you know, put a little bit more context into exactly what is being exchanged for what. How much did they cover people smiling and waving, sort of Stockholm syndrome-like, versus saying that these animals, and that's what they were, pure animals, and that's a disgrace to animals, that they did this awful stuff, that these kids, Yes, they're released now, and praise God that they are, but they're going to live with serious trauma courtesy of these beasts.
Yeah. Talking with our very good friend, Stephen Yates, at YatesComs on X. So I saw this over Thanksgiving. This is one of the things that was brought up, of course, at the Thanksgiving table. Chinese scientists find a new bat coronavirus linked to pangolins that has the same freak mutation as COVID. And then there's apparently a new respiratory illness surging in China. Number one, I don't trust anything coming out of that country for nothing. Number two, they're still messing with the bat stuff.
Well, at this point, I don't know why anyone is going to China. And, you know, how about now that we're in supposedly a political re-election cycle, how about that question back from 2020? Should there be a travel ban on people coming from a country that does not have quality control, does not respect its own people, that now has a whole generation dying of something called white lung? I mean, good grief. We've already had COVID. We've had fentanyl. And now we've got something else coming. At what point would reasonable people say, this is not a place to go for your foreign exchange experience, your tourism, and maybe some comings and goings ought to be curtailed for a time?
I can't believe anybody would go there for any kind of tourism at all. I'd be afraid you wouldn't come back.
I sure wouldn't.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. They hate you. They don't like you. They ran you out of Radio Free Asia. So I have to ask you about this as well. So they've acquired a global network of ports, and this was a headline that I saw. It's like all these different maritime paths. I think you and I talked about Panama. In fact, didn't we also talk? Haven't we talked about how they control the Panama Canal? Oh, yeah. I think you were on before when we talked about that. They apparently now control the entire network of these very, very vital ports all around the world, whether it goes through, you're going through like Suez, you're going through, I think it's off the coast of India. There's all different types of ports that they control. How bad is that for people who aren't following this and they don't appreciate the reality of it?
Well, number one, they have been lied to by the best experts money can buy for a long time to suggest that the Communist Party of China is just like anybody else. They put their pants on one leg at a time. They're just trying to get food on the table for the next generation. They're just like us. But no, they're not. And it turns out they use civilian tools for strategic and military purposes. In fact, it's their civilian fishing vessels that harass more military and Coast Guard vessels on the high seas than actual Chinese military vessels. And the same will be said for these other things. Now, I would like to believe that we live in the world of Adam Smith and that an invisible hand can balance a lot of these different kinds of things by supply and demand. But I think it's time that we have to look at some things as being strategically vital to our way of life. Ports have to be one of them. Borders should be. I don't know why that's shocking. But whether it's airports or seaports, all of these entry exit points and things that can crush our way of life, we can't think of those as just being at the mercy of the highest bidder, especially a bidder that we give trillions of dollars to every year by way of imbalanced trade and otherwise stealing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, very good point. And you think about that stuff. I didn't think about it, but then I was reading that they acquire another port, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's like how many now do they control? In addition to that, they're testing us still in the South China Sea. This is from Reuters via Yahoo News. China and U.S. exchange accusations over U.S. vessel in South China Sea. I'm going to immediately blame China, because when are they not shady? Basic question.
Well, also, when are we going to stop calling it the South China Sea? I mean, this is supposed to be in English.
What should we call it? Yes, correct me on that.
We should call it the Southeast Asian Sea, or call it the Indonesian Sea. Give it a freebie to somebody. I don't care. But don't call it the South China Sea. All that does is reinforce this false narrative that asks aspiring peacemakers, missionaries, and businessmen sort of say, oh, well, they call it. And even in the Chinese language, they don't call it the South China Sea. They call it the South Sea. And so, I mean, this is basically what English translators have screwed up and won't unscrew up. But maybe we should stop calling it theirs. That's kind of a problem, confusing people, because it goes hundreds and hundreds of miles away from what the Chinese continental mainland is.
It's in international waters.
It's insane.
Yes, so. I like the South Sea. Just the South Sea. Or, yeah, give it as a freebie to somebody else. Or, you know, we could name it, you know, after Taiwan. That'd probably make them angrier.
That would be awesome.
I think that would work out incredibly well. Stephen Yates, always so good to see you, my friend. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. At YatesComms on X. I keep wanting to say Twitter. Thank you, as always, so much. Good to see you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Make sure that you also go and sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse, over at Substack, called Chapter and Verse. All good things. And subscribers can access, you can, they always control their accounts. They control everything. I don't see anything. I can't control anything. I can't touch anything. I can't change subscriptions. I can't. So it's 1,000% safe. So you can go and sign up for there. You get a lot of stuff that comes at you as well. All good things. And you get the prep that goes out in the mornings as Tuesday through Friday. You get that prep as well. Kane and I were talking about Thanksgiving. We ate all our turkey. We only have a little bit of pumpkin pie left. How long should one have leftovers? I mean, I realize that like 3 days tops. But see, this is why I'm like, maybe like, I don't know, like a couple days after Thanksgiving, you make another thing. Because I just feel like, to have one Thanksgiving Day meal like that.
Like Thanksgiving 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, Thanksgiving 2, Electric Boogaloo. I could eat Thanksgiving. I hate turkey, but I love it on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. We, like, the gravy was the first thing to go. I am serious about the gravy, man. And I made good gravy. I got good gravy. I made good gravy. And that's like the first thing to go. The mashed potatoes. It's like, oh, you man. Can, I'll make a whole big bucket of them.
Yeah. I made like a dozen big russet potatoes, boiled them all.
Why do they go so fast?
Gone.
It doesn't matter how much you could make all the potatoes in the world and pounds of mashed potatoes. And that's like the first thing to go. And then the next day, there's only like a little smattering of the mashed potatoes left. And then you got to divide it equally between everybody who wants a mashed potato. And that's a lie because, you know. Whoever wields the spoon is the person that makes that decision, you know? So I don't know, man. I felt like there wasn't enough of it because you got to have the construction on the plate. You know what I'm saying? Like you have your mashed potatoes, you got to make the crater for the reservoir of gravy. But then I take it a step further, Kane, in the construction of my dish.
Really?
So, yeah. So I have the mashed potato reservoir. Right. Okay. And then I have the turkey, and then I will very carefully construct the reservoir, but I just dump all the gravy on my turkey. Like, just dump it. I have two gravy boats. Always, every year, gotta have two gravy boats. Because I don't share with the south end of the table. The south end of the table is on its own. You people are on your own. Okay, the north end of the table, it's where it's at. That's where, you know, we get our own gravy boat. You get your own gravy boat. That way, you know, we don't share the gravy. It does not pass the invisible border of the north and south table.
You damn Yankees.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, you know, and I mean, like halfway through the meal, I'm like, why is there like literally a quarter of the gravy left in this boat? What's happening? What is happening with this?
I'd be okay with that. But for Christmas, though, you're into more of a ham thing and not a turkey thing, right?
Yeah, but I could do turkey, too.
You could?
Sometimes we do both.
So could Christmas be like the turkey Thanksgiving to electric
boogaloo? Yeah, but then we got people who are weirdos, and I'm not going to name names. There are some people who sit at the south end of the table, and they're psychos, and their taste buds change, and they only want ham for Christmas. They're communists.
It seems like you're talking about someone specific, but...
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's weird.
I'm talking about somebody very specific. Nice. Somebody's very specific. That's correct.
Interesting.
So I'm just, you know, I don't know. And you got to have great... Because you can't really do gravy with ham, right? You can't.
Yeah,
one,
I don't think so.
One last quick thing. You know, you also know what kind of gravy is really good right now? Chocolate gravy.
Chocolate gravy?
Have you never heard of chocolate gravy?
Isn't that just melted chocolate?
Yes and no. How have you never heard of it?
I'm today years old.
My kids had never heard of it. And I was like, I have failed as a parent. Like, I've prepared you for everything else in life.
Chocolate grit. Now, I've heard of chocolate sauce,
mm-hmm.
chocolate drizzle, melted chocolate, chocolate
mm-hmm.
fudge,
mm-hmm.
all the different types of chocolates mm-hmm. we've grown up with, knowing and loving. What is chocolate gravy?
So I would make, my grandma always made around the holidays for the grandkids, chocolate gravy and just drop biscuits, right? And so good. And it's basically like milk gravy with chocolate.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now I'm really curious.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so, I mean, you can use it with It goes on everything. Yeah.
Like Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah, it's like Frank's Red Hot. It's like the gravy version of Frank's Red Hot. For real. It legit goes on everything. It's so good. But yeah, look it up. If you've never done it, look up chocolate gravy. You are welcome. That's free for you. That's a service I have provided. I'm serving my country right now. Chocolate gravy, two words. Everything is amazing with it. Everything. You're welcome, Kane.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You gonna make some now?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I think I will. I mean, I'm curious enough to do it.
So sure. Good. Oh, my gosh. All right. Today in stupidity.
All right. This is Karine Jean-Pierre just an hour or so ago claiming this about the economy. Juan, please.
The fact is, the data shows that the economy is improving.
What?
The data shows that households remain in a strong financial position.
Households are down $2 trillion over the last 2 years.
Where are they getting this from?
The data does not show what she's saying it shows.
Did they actually purchase their own groceries for Thanksgiving? Did they purchase their own groceries? Do they know how much things were going for this year? Apparently not. Folks, that does it for us today. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Have a great night.